The whole earth is filled with God's glory. Hear the words of that mighty God. Your guilt has departed, and your sin is blotted out. There is much to do. Whom shall I send, and who will go for me?
Here we are. Send us.
Please join me in the prayer. God of peace, protect us and project us into the world. But first this day, enter into our hearts. Inspire us in your love. We welcome you today in our midst. We pray in your name. Amen. And now the hymn is number 460. Holy God, we praise your name. The reading from the Old Testament, which I guess is also the Older Testament, is Isaiah 6, 1 through 8, and it's page 577 in your pew Bibles. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet. And with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the thresholds shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed, and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." This ends the reading.
And this morning, Lois Rose is going to spend a few moments with our children, so yeah. I invite them.
They occupy our children. So there's a kind of an
Later in this service, we are going to have something that has been created by one of our own members in recognition of the life and ministry of Reinhold Niebuhr, who was a member of this congregation. And in addition to that, we might remember his prayer, which we are going to be hearing more, but I would also like to share with you that his prayer that he created, which is now very well widely used, especially within 12-step groups, is this: God, give us grace to accept with serenity the things that we cannot change, courage to change the things which should be changed, and the wisdom to distinguish one from the other, living one day at a time. I believe God wants from each of us to live the best living possible, the best living possible for this day. Therefore, when we give to God today, it is clearly what we must do is give our best for what we have this day. I invite the ushers to be among us for a collection of this morning's offerings. God, you give us your best in every day, those past, today, and all the tomorrows. May these gifts that we give today represent our very best, and may they also turn into doing the work of tomorrow that you would have us do. We offer these gifts in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The gospel reading of this day is taken from John, the third chapter, verses 1 through 17. Hear these words. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "You are a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." That ends the reading of the scripture and the gospel for this Sunday morning. May the words of my mouth I trust that there are many of you here who pay somewhat close attention to the unfolding news, especially the scientific news that is constantly surrounding us. We are in an era of rapidly unfolding scientific information. Even this morning, I read that the latest scientific discovery comes out of Israel, where scientists have been able to take a piece of human skin and turn it into a heart-beating cell. And they have a video of it on AOL where you can see the cell is beating in a rhythmic heart fashion. They caution everybody, don't get too excited about this turning into new hearts too soon. It will take a good number of years for it to develop to wherever it must go. But there's continuously developing scientific information unfolding. There are new fossils that describe old forms of life that are being unearthed, it seems, regularly. There's a crater that was discovered not too many years ago that's 300 miles wide and was discovered under the ice of a mile thick in Antarctica. And it's believed to be the result of, it's believed to have resulted in the impact that caused the Permia-Triassic extinction of 90% of the animal life on Earth about 250 million years ago. They just discovered that crater not many years ago. Can you imagine that? A discovery under a mile of ice where there is no human habitation. The things we know, is mind-boggling. From space, we are constantly learning about planets and stars and galaxies that we never knew, unfolding almost daily. It's true that when we look into the heavens, we are truly seeing the past. It's incredible how we can understand so much. The things we know, mind-boggling. When I was 14 years old, my best friend's father had a heart attack. The man was 48 years old, and at that time in my life, that seemed to be a very old man. His treatment after the hospital stay was to rest at home and to do nothing strenuous for 3 months. At the end of the 3 months, he was cleared to return to work, and on his first day at work, he had another heart attack and he died. That was in 1960. That same thing would not happen today. Surgery and treatments would probably have him back on his feet within days. If you've ever been around someone who has bypass surgery or any other form of heart surgery, they don't allow the person to be bedridden long. Within hours, that person is walking. That would be what would happen today. The things we know, mind-boggling. As a boy in the 1950s, I remembered two hurricanes. How many of you in the 1950s lived anywhere here in New England or the east, northeastern part of the United States? I just out of curiosity. There are quite a number of you. Do you remember in the 1950s, in different years, the two different hurricanes, Donna and Hazel? Do you remember those? I do. I remember them quite clearly. They ripped through our town in Pennsylvania and did massive amounts of destruction. They took lives, including a number of Boy Scouts who were at summer camp on the Delaware River, and they were washed away, and many of them never found. There wasn't much warning for that hurricane. They didn't know it. Today, when a hurricane is developing off the coast of Africa, they know it, and they're ahead of it by a long time so that there can be much preparation. The things we know. Today is Trinity Sunday. The church has been observing Trinity Sunday for 2,000 years. How many people do you suspect truly understand Trinity as in the Christian faith? Trinity, you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How do we weave our way through a Trinity complex and then say, ah, yes, that's what it means to be a Christian? I would guess that most people, most Christians, if they were honest about it, would admit to understanding the Trinity, but probably would not do a very good job of explaining it. Then again, for some people, there is absolutely nothing complicated or complex about it. I have witnessed some fascinating discussions among clergy and other people about who is Jesus? Is Jesus God or is Jesus not God? Theologians can get dug in on that as many other questions and enjoy the debate. The things we know are incredible. Today's gospel story is about Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a man who knew a lot. He was a bright man. He was a Pharisee. He was well-read, well-educated, and a scholar in the ways of the Torah and the traditions of Jewish life. He was the person that people would go to when they needed some kind of clarification, especially of theological matters. Nicodemus knew about Jesus and thought Jesus had to be a teacher from God. Nicodemus wanted to meet him. He wanted to talk with him. He wanted to hear more. Now, he was aware of the danger of being seen doing that. For at that time, there were many people who were claiming to be the Messiah. There were many people who were showing and doing miracles. And Nicodemus had to be careful not to be identified as being vulnerable or gullible to one such person. Now, being aware of the danger, what he did was he sneaked out of his house. He waited till after dark, and he sneaked out, and he went and found Jesus. And the first thing he says to Jesus is, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher. You've come from God, for no one else can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Do you understand what it's like to know just enough to be dangerous? Many people know just enough to be dangerous about many things. A distinguished chemistry professor once said, "Only those in freshman chemistry class know everything there is to know about chemistry." Do you know what the word sophomore means? It's Greek. It means wise fool. Wise fools are people who know just enough to be dangerous. Nicodemus knew just enough about Jesus to be dangerous. He wanted to believe that Jesus was who he said he was, but he was not quite able to cross that line of committing himself to acknowledging Jesus as the Messiah. He couldn't go that far. Nicodemus enters this passage with Jesus telling Jesus what he knew. Nicodemus is the one who is spouting. He's the one who's saying, "This is what I know." By the time Nicodemus' story is completed, he isn't telling Jesus anything. He's asking questions. Now, all of us at some point must have seen those bumper stickers, and I am one, by the way, who does not like and very seldom likes a bumper sticker. But some years ago, you probably have seen it, there was a bumper sticker that says, "Jesus is the answer." Have you not? Well, some bright person decided to counter that with the better sticker that reads, "I don't remember hearing the question." Being a Christian is not nearly about what we know as much as it is about the questions we ask. It's in seeking. It's in going on a journey. It's about entering an adventure of this and then discovering who it is that we are on the adventure and discovery with. In one of the pastor's offices in a congregation that I served, there was one of the finest executive chairs that you can possibly imagine. It was beautiful. It was burgundy in color. It was leather. It was high in the back. It had comfortable arms on the side, and it was rippled with the little buttons underneath and on the back. It was truly the most beautiful chair I've ever seen in any office that I've ever sat in. But soon I discovered it had a problem. You see, there was a piece of wood in the seat that was broken, and it kind of leaned off to the right. And I found that it was uncomfortable, but after a while, I was walking crooked myself. It was annoying. It was an expensive chair, and I did not want to see it discarded. There's something about something that's good and been created well, that it's just not right to get rid of it. I have that thing about getting rid of and replacing. But I was developing a back problem from that chair. Of course, like every congregation, that one was also having budget restraints, and I thought, you know, this chair could probably be fixed. So one of the people in the congregation took it upon himself to do a fine job to repair it. But now, instead of it leaning to the side, it leaned forward. And I felt like I was slipping off of it every time I sat on it. And who was I to complain about it to it this time? So I did talk to the right person one day who came into my office. And to that person, I said, I would like you to sit in that chair. So he sat in that chair. And when he did, he looked at me and he said, okay, I understand. Now we need to replace it. Nicodemus never tried sitting in the chair. He never sat in it. He never crossed that line and said, okay, I'll try it. Christian life isn't as much about what we know as it is about where we go. Life with Jesus and God isn't nearly as much about what is in our head as it is about what is in our feet. It's a journey. It is an adventure. Adventures take you into the unknown. And that's where Jesus was inviting Nicodemus and was inviting you and me and every other person in this world to go and do. Go into the unknown. Get into it. And by doing that, you will better understand it. Our God is big and beyond our complete understanding. If we wait to completely understand God, then we will never experience either the journey or the mystery that is there for us to discover. It was Augustine who wrote, "Seek not to understand that you might believe, that you may believe, but believe that you may understand." How God is involved in the world is for God to choose. And it's true. There's a lot of mystery in it. God is funny in that God seems to not have a problem with patience. It's been my observation that God seems to wait for people to say something like this, "Well, I don't really understand it all. It's still somewhat confusing. Some of it still doesn't make sense, but here I go." I think God is waiting for people to say that. This is when some of God's mysteries become solved, because at that moment, God becomes involved also. An anonymous Sufi was quoted in Breakfast at the Victory, The Mysticism of Ordinary Experiences by James Carsey. And these are the words. "For 30 years, I sought God. But when I looked carefully, I saw that in reality, God was the seeker and I was the sought." The spiritual adventure does not only involve the mind, but also requires movement of the feet. The adventure will take you to places that are not always comfortable to be at, but we will never, ever be there alone. Jim Wallace is the editor of Christian Century, and I know many of you enjoy his writing as much as I do. And he wrote these words. "The ancient desert fathers regarded prayer as an act of unhooking from the values and securities of the world so that one might be open to the reality of God." Wallace then asks, "Are we willing to unhook the so-called certainties of the world in order to accept the ultimate certainties that are offered by God?" Jesus invited Nicodemus, and he invited you and me to unhook from the certainties that we are convinced must happen within our life and within our understanding of life, but quite often also keep us separated from God. David Dark, in the Gospel According to America, wrote, "As was the case with Nicodemus, we often have a difficult time receiving messages that do not accord with what we expect to hear. We deem something to be unbiased if it's to our advantage. Biased if it isn't. That predisposition not only influences how we watch the news, but it often spills over into our religion as well. The message of Jesus is not that complex. It's get unhooked. Take the journey. Go for the adventure. Sit in the chair and experience it rather than trying only to understand it. When you do that, then some of the mysteries of God that have puzzled you will become unraveled and they will become known to you. Hey, Nicodemus, and to all the other Nicodemuses that are wandering around this world, go ahead and take a chance. Take a chance, and when you do, you're going to find that it will be mind-boggling. Go ahead, unhook, take the chance." Amen. As I shared a few moments earlier, that we are going to be recognizing the life and some of the work of Reinhold Niebuhr. And at this point, I'm going to ask Joyce to come forward, who is going to share a reading.
The words of Anne McKinstry's hymn that we are about to sing are taken from Reinhold Niebuhr's prayer found in Justice and Mercy. Let us pray. In the beauty of this morning, we give you thanks, O Lord, for life and love, the joy of existence, and all pure and lovely things. We rejoice in the glory of personhood, the innocence of childhood, the wisdom of age. We rejoice in the sweetness of companionship, the joy of understanding hearts. May we, with contrite hearts, seek once more to purify our spirits and to clarify our reason so that a fairer temple for the human spirit may be built in human society. Help us to envision your larger purpose, and may your strength be made perfect in our weaknesses. O God, the Redeemer of the world, who in Christ has suffered with us, we worship you who are the fountain of mercy. Amen.
Oh,
Thank you, and please do be seated. We're about to enter into our prayers. We begin our prayers with your concerns, your joys, your needs. It could be for you, someone else. It could be for this part of our world, or it could be for other parts. You're invited to share aloud those concerns or joys that you would like the rest of us to be aware of. Joyce? We are pleased to have you. Welcome.
It was 5 years ago, 2007, that Drew died this weekend. And I know we're going to honor, you know, in a memorial service outside next week. But I think our thoughts and prayers go with Fran and with Steve during this time.
Thank you. This is really very good news. Thank you for sharing it. Thank you. Patty? For Nicholas and why? Ah. Good. He's graduating today. Good. Others? Yes, for Sophie and her graduation day as well. For the people of Syria, yes. We have heard, is there more? Another hand? Yes. Thank you, Max. Yes, we have a need for a columbarium at this church, and we will be addressing that. We will continue to address it. Others? We have heard many expressions of concern and joy. It is most right that in these next few moments, we be in a time of silence with each other, where we can include those voices and their words in our prayers, and also in addition to anything else that you haven't spoken that you would like to talk to God about. Let us be in a time of silence. God, this is a time of silence for us, but not for you. For you are receiving the words that come from the minds, the thoughts, the hearts, the hopes, and the hurts of each person. We ask you to receive them and to assure each one who offers that you not only hear, but that you respond. God, on this day when we worship together, we remember people beyond ourselves. We remember and are reminded of people throughout this world who need your presence and who need the presence of kind and helpful and hopeful people of this world. For the people who suffer in Syria, we ask for there to be a time when peace will come and death and violence will end. For other people throughout this world who find themselves in the middle of conflict, war, we ask that you also be the presence that comes to this land and to the people of it and bring peace. God, you bring us hope in all situations. For the people who are graduating from high schools and colleges and seminaries, we are finding hope. Hope for not just this day, but for the days ahead. For every time there is someone who enters this world, for every time there is someone who makes a commitment to boldly go forward, we are renewed with our hope that has come to us through you and each other. We are especially grateful for Rebecca and her entry into ministry, but we are also grateful to all the people who enter into ministry, some through ordination and others through ministries within each congregation. We give you thanks for the work that we all do and our contribution to building your world into what you are making it into. God, we are thankful for new neighbors, for new friends, for new faces, for also in that newness comes excitement of more hope. God, we do remember this day, Drew, for it has been 5 years, but we are especially mindful of his parents, Steve and Fran. We ask you to be with them, for we know this is a painful and difficult day that they face. And may each person here who knew him, Drew, also find a way to offer comfort to those who still suffer. God, we pray for all the work that you do, for the work that this congregation does, for the work and the hope and the ministry that comes out of your church throughout this world. And we offer it all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to share your voice with the rest of ours as we enter our time of communion with the prayer of confession. God of divinity and humanity, we come confessing that in exalting the divinity of Jesus, we can forget his humanity, and in exalting his humanity, negate his divinity. Forgive us for seeking knowledge before relationship, and forgive us for ever believing you to be absent from us in this life, for ever considering you unable or unwilling to share our struggles. You have acted definitively in coming to experience our life in humanity in Jesus. And because of him, the Holy Spirit has made available to us new life and love and power. Yet in our humanity, we live weak and fearful lives because we fail to receive your divine gifts. Forgive us. We do not have a Savior who is unable to understand our weaknesses, but one who has shared our human life in every way. Yet in faithfulness and love, he has discharged our debt and assures us that our relationship with God is established forever. Thanks and praise be to God in Christ. Amen.
Lord,
As a preface to the invitation in the bulletin, I remind you that this is not a meal that we come to because we deserve it. If we got what we deserve, we get nothing. This is a meal that we come to that is not our gift to God, but is God's gift to us. It's a meal that says to each one of us, I know who you are. I know everything about you. You can't hide. But I love you anyway. Come. Come eat. Eat the food of love that reminds you that I won't let you go. Come and eat. Beloved in Christ, the gospel tells us that on the first day of the week, Jesus Christ was raised from death, appeared to Mary Magdalene on that same day, sat at the table with two disciples, and was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This table is for all Christians who wish to know the presence of Christ and to share in the community of God's people. Jesus was gathered with his disciples, the people he shared his hopes with, the people who were to carry on what he started. But he needed to leave something with them. So he took a piece of bread, a loaf of bread. He broke it. He gave thanks and he said to them, "This is my body, which is to be broken for you. Every time you eat it, I want you to eat it remembering me." Christ's body, which is broken for us, let us also do this in remembrance of him.
And then in a very like manner, Jesus took the cup. After the breaking of the bread, he then raised the cup and he said, "This is a new covenant, the new covenant in my blood, which is to be shed for you. For as often as you drink it also in remembrance of me." The blood of one who will not let us go. Let us drink it together. Please join your voice with the rest of ours in our prayer of thanksgiving. We give you thanks that we are one in Abraham and Sarah, the parents of many nations. We give you thanks that your cross will bridge the gap between enemies and reconcile your broken world with our perfect God. Lord Jesus, the light that shines in the darkness, we are thankful you have found us worthy to follow you. We take up our cross, not without fear, but also with thanksgiving for your presence and your example. In your name we pray. Amen. the peace of Christ to you. Will you please share the peace with one another? Now may the peace of God be with each one of us for today, tomorrow, and all the tomorrows beyond that. May the grace of God be with us and the peace as we go into the world that only we know. And as we go, we will have our challenges, but we will be able to face them all because we will know this. We are now and forever loved. Go in peace.